Hey, hey, here we go. Happy Friday, everyone. Justin Bourne, David Amber, and we are waiting with eager anticipation the arrival of Anthony Stewart on this, the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We can exhale a little bit if we're the National Hockey League. 56 games in what turned out to be 121 nights, and tomorrow, officially, the Stanley Cup playoffs will begin with the Boston Bruins and the Washington Capitals. And yes, Anthony Stewart's blessed us with his presence as well. Gentlemen, Anthony, Justin, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great, doing great. So happy Anthony's here. I was worried about my boy.
Yeah, I got a brand new iPhone 12 now.
What?
So a little bit trouble connecting here, boys.
What?
Yeah.
With the black
one? I'm
going to
call it my bat line, though. It's my bat line, I'm not going that far yet. I'm going to try it for a couple weeks and see how I like it, but it's going to be my bat signal phone for now.
Wow. What happened? You're joining the rest of us here in the 21st century. That's great to have you along.
Yeah, Maddie Nichols probably going to send me some hate mail right now because I think we're the only people left in the city that are using BlackBerry.
Oh, my goodness.
If you try it for a couple weeks and go back to the BlackBerry, I just don't even know what to do with you. Like, I don't think we can be friends.
Well, here's the thing. Stewie loves all the face mashups and all that stuff. You can do a ton with Apple. You'll be pleasantly pleased, I have a feeling. You'll just have to get used to the typing. That's the one thing that took me a couple of weeks to transition off of that keyboard to the other side of things. But enough about that. Let's talk a little hockey, guys. We have a lot to get to. Sam Cosentino is going to join us in the second half hour as we tee up the top prospects heading into this year's NHL draft. We'll also look ahead to the next two drafts as well, because Shane Wright, Connor Bedard as well. I mean, we're talking two superstars in the making, so we'll want to get Sam's thoughts on that. But in this first half hour, a lot to dig into. Let's start with the Jets and the Leafs, final game of the regular season for these teams. And I want to know, let's start with the Leafs, obviously. Just what can we learn about Toronto as they're preparing for the playoffs? This game, obviously, is meaningless. We know they're playing the Montreal Canadiens. But what do you think we can maybe learn? Jack Campbell back in net, Connor Hellebuyck in net for Winnipeg. Start with you, Justin. What are you hoping to see tonight?
Honestly, no injuries. That's like my very honest, uninteresting answer is, I think there's two really good teams here heading into the postseason. I know the Jets have been stumbling down the stretch and haven't won many hockey games, but I still like their team. And like when they were going at a good clip earlier in the season, you look at that roster and you go, okay, they're deep. They got goaltending. They could really be trouble for someone in playoffs. And I still think that's the case. The Leafs are the same thing as, all you want to see is this machine that Dubas has built fully operational. Because if it fails, then you can say it wasn't good enough. But if it's not, if they're injured and they can't field the team, then there's excuses. I just want to see them have a good, honest run with this group without injuries to see if this team is, in fact, good enough.
Yeah, I'm looking for a little bit of chemistry. I'm looking for a little bit of chemistry on the bottom six, right? You got the Joe Thornton line with Spezza and Simmons, seeing if they can now get some chemistry going, because you're going to need all four lines going in the playoffs. You can't go and win a Stanley Cup having, just the top six. They can, help get you over the top, but you need four lines buzzing as well, too. And specialty teams, I don't think, when's the last time a team's won the Stanley Cup with their power play or penalty kills really faltering? I'm trying to think. Maybe it was Boston or Pittsburgh that had an awful power play, but I think they got to get that together. Right now, it's more positive than negatives for Toronto, and that's for sure.
Well, I'm glad you touched on it, Stewie, because the Leafs' power play, I don't even know what to make of it with that much talent and high-end talent. And as good as they were in the first, 2 months of the season, they've been equally as bad in the last 30 games. The last I had written down was 5 for 69. 5 out of 69 over the last 28 games is what I have written down. So it's something in that ballpark. So that's unbelievable to me. To me, I would love to see a little bit of meshing with that power play. And I know they scored a power play goal last game. Granted, it was Jake Muzzin. It was the second unit, and that's fantastic. Wayne Simmons providing some net front presence. But I want to see the chemistry of, Tavares and Matthews and Marner and Riley. I want to see that well-oiled machine oiled up again, because I think it's putting a lot of pressure to be so good 5-on-5 if you're getting nothing from your power play. So that's something I'm interested to see tonight.
It's a lot of pressure for sure. Sorry, David. I just wanted to say, I love... I like the idea that they've had success even with that power play dormant, because they can be really good. I watched all of Marner's points from this season for an article the other day, and like in the early season on the power play, there's a lot of movement and interchangeable parts, guys stopping and playing the bumper who weren't the bumper, and guys rotating around. It really got stagnant. Like, if they can get moving a little bit out there, there's just so much talent. I still think it can be a strength for this team and not a liability like it has been.
Anything else you guys want to touch on? Because we're going to spend the bulk of this first half hour getting into the other series and the excitement. And I think there's some incredible matchups. Is there anything else as far as putting a bow on the Leafs? I think you guys hit it with the special teams. I think you hit it with the don't get injured, hit it with the chemistry in the bottom six. Stewie, is there anything else that's relevant right now? If you're Sheldon Keefe and you're trying to figure out that first game lineup, where you're going to slot Hyman and Foligno, and if Riley Nash comes in, where's Engvall, where's Brooks? Is there anything you're keen on tonight, or have all those decisions essentially already been made?
Yeah, I think all the decisions are made. I know I'm assuming Sandin right now is out just due to cap stipulations too, but I want to use this time to sort of send a message to sort of the media right now, discounting what Jack Campbell's done and, you know, all this hoopla around Freddie Anderson. Jack Campbell, he's earned this start. So I know there's been a lot of questions when Freddie's coming in, but at this opportunity that Jack Campbell has now, you got to ride him. 17-2-2. And if there was any other goalie other than a goalie with inexperience, I don't think they'd be questioning it. So you got to put a little bit more respect on Jack Campbell's name, because he's earned this opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And Justin, maybe this is a good situation. If you look at, you know, five of the last six Stanley Cup winners, they've wrote, you know, you had Fleury and Murray, you had Grubauer and Holtby. You've had this ability to have two hot hands to ride. Do you think that's what the Leafs are looking at essentially as they enter the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's a really good spot. Like, the best case scenario if you're a Leafs fan is Campbell goes in, plays well, you win a couple hockey games, Freddie gets in the back-to-back, he looks good, like you're comfortable with a couple of guys. I said yesterday, the worst case scenario for Leafs fans is you see Freddie Anderson before game four. But I do think he's going to play regardless, and you're right. Teams have had success with both guys. You need both guys. This is the first year in a long time with the Leafs I feel confident that both guys can play well for long stretches of time. So that's a comfort they haven't had.
Yeah, last year was a little bit of an anomaly. Andrei Vasilevsky played every single minute for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is pretty shocking. And I believe they had a five overtime game versus Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, as well mixed in there. But, he's also a Vezina caliber goalie. They didn't want to have to bring in Curtis McElhinney, and they were able to ride this young, talented goalie. The Leafs, different situation, right? One guy with no experience in the postseason, Jack Campbell. The other guy with, you know, a questionable track record in the last four playoff years, as far as giving up a bad goal at a bad time. So it's nice to have two options you can ride. So, anyhow, the Leafs Canadiens begins Thursday in Toronto, then Saturday back in Toronto, and then, as Justin alluded to, back-to-back in Montreal on Monday and Tuesday. And Winnipeg and Edmonton gets going on Wednesday night. But the playoffs, again, begin tomorrow night with Boston and Washington. So let's dig in a little bit in the other series, guys. I put out a poll question on Twitter, and I prefaced it this way. Aside from the North Division matchups, which playoff series are you most excited for? 1,200 people have chimed in, and it was a bit surprising to me. I only put four options. I left out, Carolina and Nashville. I just assume most people aren't that excited about. So of the four options I put out, 52% said Tampa and Florida, 30% said Boston and Washington, only 8% said Vegas and Minnie, and 10% said Colorado and St. Louis. So I want to get your guys' thoughts, because I'm very intrigued by many of these series, as well as Pittsburgh and the Islanders, quite frankly. What would be the number one series that you're keyed on, Stewie, as we head towards the postseason?
Well, I think there's that West Coast bias, because a lot of those fans don't want to stay awake that are on the East Coast. So I think that's why they didn't vote for that. But for me, I think the fans got it right. Tampa Bay and the Florida Panthers. And it goes back to my playing days where it wasn't even close. Like, I just remember every single time we get pounded by the Tampa Bay Lightning, Le Cavalier, St. Louis, and then they get Stamkos. And it wasn't even a close. It was almost like a guaranteed two-point night for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So to get two teams in close proximity, to have that rivalry now that's been renewed, I think that's great for the game of hockey, but great for the fans in South Florida as well.
Well, and
Florida's the home ice, yeah.
Yeah, the fortuitous break that Tampa caught with Kucherov's injury healing for game one of the playoffs. Just unbelievable. Steven Stamkos healthy for game one of the playoffs. Boy, miracles never end. Medical miracles. I was looking at it yesterday. So Tampa's 18 skaters plus goalie going into the game one is going to be like $88 million, and Florida minus Ekblad is going to be $60 million. It's not what it's supposed to be, but you know, it is what it is. The rules are the rules, and Tampa found a way to field this team within that. So I'm interested to watch that one too. But I do think Tampa's the favorite. But I'll just give a little love to the Washington Boston series. I was looking at that one today. And like I picked Washington, and I had all my rationale about their great offense and all this stuff, but like I went back and I ended up picking Boston. I think Taylor Hall is actually going to be the difference for that team. They struggled offensively until they got him. Suddenly they have an offense now that they have some more depth scoring, and they've always been able to keep the puck out of their net. So it's going to be a really great series, some really good hockey with two quality teams.
Both those series are so compelling on so many levels. Let me give a few numbers to give it a bit of context. For starters, Boston's 12-4-1 since the Taylor Hall trade. And I sort of poo-pooed that trade as, we'll see. But he has fit in perfectly on that second line. He's given them that balanced scoring. In fact, since Taylor Hall's been there, Boston's second line with Krejci and Craig Smith and Taylor Hall have been almost equal as far as offensive output as that first incredible line with Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Marchand. So Boston has two incredible lines to run out there. And Washington, remember, Kuznetsov's on the COVID list. Oshie's been playing in a non-contact jersey in practice. Ovechkin's just coming back from an injury, so there's a lot of question marks surrounding the Washington Capitals and their goaltending situation. Vanecek looks like he'll be getting the start because Samsonov is also on the COVID list. So lots of question marks, but I'm not going to sleep on that Washington team that was, obviously has their sights set on another Stanley Cup. As for Florida, 5-2-1 versus Tampa. I don't know if that means anything because there was no Kucherov, there was no Stamkos for the last couple of meetings, but they certainly felt comfortable this season playing against Tampa, for whatever that's worth. So I wonder if Tampa is going to get dragged into the gutter by a Florida team that seems pretty willing to really bang and crash and has a lot of size up front. So those are both great series, guys. I'm still surprised no one's picking Las Vegas versus Mini, because to me, those are two of the most exciting teams, two of the best teams, and it's a bit of a crapshoot. You just don't know what we're going to get from this Mini team because a lot of people haven't really taken them seriously. There's nothing intriguing about that series that grabs your eyes, guys.
The Minnesota thing is like people, I think it's, everyone focused this season, and I would bet you have a pretty heavy Canadian audience. Everyone followed the Canadian division so closely this year and kind of isn't hip to the game that the Wild aren't boring. they were a team that actually had some offense this year. Kirill Kaprizov really changed things around with a dynamic player. Like, they can put the puck in the net. And so, yeah, they're a different Wild team. Let's be honest, though. Like, you can't undo decades of malaise of, like, oh, the Wild, one good year. So I think that's probably, like, people are into Vegas, but I still think the Wild are not a draw nationally in Canada anyway.
I think it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a Vegas Colorado series too, so everyone's just looking past St. Louis and past Minnesota, which I wouldn't be surprised if both teams lose in the first round. I'm not a betting man, but I think it's just the fans saying, this first series is a write-off. Let's get to Vegas, Colorado second round.
Now, granted, we thought that was going to be the conference final last year in the West, and the Dallas Stars had something to say about that, and it didn't happen. But I think you guys make valid points. Minnesota just, so we have the tail of the tape. They're tied with Tampa for the eighth most goals this year. In fact, they only scored four fewer goals than the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if you want some context of how exciting and dynamic the Wild were, again, they were in the top 10 in goals scored and just four behind the Maple Leafs, who finished sixth in goals for. So they definitely are a dynamic team. They definitely can put the puck in the net, and they definitely have a lot of weapons. And right now they're feeling pretty good, although they gave up a 7 spot to the St. Louis Blues last night to wrap up the regular season. So lots of compelling things. Let me get your sense, guys. What do you think is the most likely upset in the first round? When you look through the eight series, which is the team that's going in as the underdog, but you say, you know what, they shouldn't be the underdog, or they should be the underdog, but I do think they're capable of making a bit of a shocking upset in the first round. Start with you, Stewie. Is there a team that you could pick out?
Well, I'm going to ask this. I'm going to answer your question with the question. Is Berkey listening right now? Yes or no? The answer is no. I'm going New York Islanders, and I know they've been struggling near the last quarter of the season here too, but I would not be surprised. They have the two-headed monster in net. I think they have the most complete buy-in for Barry Trotz's system, I think, in the National Hockey League. So when they play that system, it's tough. Just based on what they did last year in that playoffs, it's going to be tough to get by them. I would not be surprised if the Islanders beat Pittsburgh.
Mine's the Jets. The Jets are, I am a betting man, unlike Stewie, and right, I think I got their odds at +156, which, you know, that's people don't think the Jets are going to win. That's basically what that number tells you. So I think the Jets with Connor Hellebuyck, you know, when he was injured, the Jets really struggled, and they struggled before he was injured. Like, when he came back, he played really well. If he's good, and you can at least tame McDavid, I know you can't stop him, but if you can keep him reined in a little bit, I love the depth of the Jets, and I love their bottom six, so I think they have a good chance to get by Edmonton.
All right, let me add a little to both your comments there. The Islanders, by the way, remember they swept Pittsburgh in 2019, and I know Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Letang, etc. They're looking at this as maybe a little bit of redemption, a little payback, because that wasn't supposed to happen. So it's going to be very interesting to see if this Islanders team can pull off a bit of another shocker. And it's worth noting, by the way, the big trade that we were all excited for, that sweet Lou Lamoriello pulled off. Palmieri, 17 games with the Islanders, 2 goals, 4 points. Travis Zajac, 13 games with the Islanders, 1 goal, 2 points. I mean, the early returns have been absolutely dismal. And since Anders Lee has been injured, they've really struggled to put the puck in the net. But Stu's point is a valid point. If they can turn this into a 2-1 or a 1-0 game, then all bets are off, because the Islanders love that style of hockey, and they clearly have the best goaltender in the series with Semyon Varlamov. And as far as the odds go with the Jets, I don't know if you're going to like this or not like this, Justin. The odds are now +175 for Winnipeg. For those out there listening who aren't big gamblers, you would bet $100 on the Jets to win the series to win $175. Conversely, Edmonton is -208, which means you have to bet $208 to win $100. So the prohibitive favorites, the Edmonton Oilers. Which brings me to this, guys. Of the 8 playoff series, the team that's considered the biggest favorite to move on is the Toronto Maple Leafs, -286 to win their series. What do you think of that? Should the Leafs be the biggest favorite in the first round?
No, that's a gambling book protecting themselves, because the Leafs have the biggest fan base and everyone's going to bet on them. But I genuinely think the best chance is Colorado to move on. And that's no disrespect to, well, sorry, Carolina's in there too. But Colorado, like, everyone looks at St. Louis and goes, boy, they just won a Stanley Cup. You know, I like that group of D. Whittington can get hot. You know how they can smother, yada, yada. The Blues, of the 16 playoff teams, gave up the most goals against this season. Colorado is far and away the best offensive team in the NHL this season. So you've got the best offensive team against the worst D left standing. I kind of like the Avs to come out on top.
Stewie?
Toronto's earned it, right? So we got to put some respect on Toronto's name. They, you know, people were waiting for them to falter and fall back down to earth. And I think out of, you know, the 4 or 5 month season, I think there was only probably about a 3-4 week segment where it was even, you know, any other team in contention for the division. They ran away with this division any way that you dice it. And I think Montreal right now is undermatched. But I think out of all the surprises, I would not be surprised if St. Louis beat Colorado. I would be tremendously surprised. I got a new adjective today, that Montreal would beat Toronto.
By the way, odds came out in Colorado. They're -435 against St. Louis.
Wow. Okay, well, I was about to say, so that line, so there's your new favorite, the Colorado Avalanche. But the Toronto line has moved as well. Toronto went from -286, that was about an hour ago when I checked. It's now -345, so there's a lot of public money going out.
Yeah.
A lot of public money going out on the Leafs. The Canadians are +270. Here's my one thought, and let's just, I know we've dealt a lot with the Leafs and the Habs, and we're going to deal a lot between now and Thursday with it, but let me throw this one question out at you. Is there the fear that Gallagher's coming back, Weber's coming back, potentially Price is coming back, that Habs team from the first 3 weeks, which arguably was the best team in the NHL out of the gates, and granted, that was a long time ago, but is there any fear, if you're Leaf Nation, that that might be the team you're going to have to go up against in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, I know I hate being this guy, but if you look at analytics, Montreal gets a ton of shots and chances when they're healthy. They, you know, I mean, like, in the top five in the NHL in shots and chances. And anytime you have a team that creates that much action at the net, if the goaltending is good on one side and the goaltending is not good for the Leafs, like, they got a chance to be in the game. We know that they can get saves if Carey Price is decent. So I think there is real fear that a team that drives possession like Montreal can get a lot of action around their net. And then there's pressure on Jack Campbell, an unproven playoff goaltender. So if there's going to be an upset here, it's going to be Montreal's goaltending outperforming Toronto's.
Yeah, and I think with, I'd be worried about Gallagher, but he's missed, 20 games, right? So it'd be different if he missed 4 or 5 games and it wasn't anything serious, but he's coming back from a serious injury. So he's not going to be the Gallagher of past. I think it's going to take him a couple games to really get acclimated to a series, and he can't just jump in head first and play that physical game. And, you know, we saw Shea Weber, we saw the Montreal Canadiens tweet that video out. You know, he looks like he's nursing something, you know, pretty bad with his hand there too. So if they were healthy and they got 5-6 games in, but they're getting thrown into the fire here against a Toronto Maple Leafs team firing on mostly all cylinders, I think it's Toronto is a heavy, heavy favorite.
And Toronto is the number two favorite on Coolbet to win the Stanley Cup at +550. The Avs are the favorite right now at +450. And you have to go well down the list to find the Montreal Canadiens as far as a Stanley Cup favorite. It's interesting. Montreal's at +3,400. One thing that caught my eye is the Conn Smythe. Who might be the person to win the Conn Smythe? The favorites as co-favorites are Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews, both at +1,200. Do you guys think they got it right, or is there someone else you think should be maybe graded ahead of MacKinnon and Matthews as the favorite going into the playoffs to win the MVP?
Well, the MVP stuff, you kind of got to take the handful of teams that you think are going to win it and then look at players in key positions, right? So how about goaltending for Vegas? You know, best defensive team heading into the postseason with two guys who just won the Jennings Trophy. So could you get a Fleury or a Leonard at a decent price? That might be somewhere to look to.
Yeah, I'd go Fleury. Anybody that can recover from a sword in the back and come back and play the hockey that he has, I think Fleury's got to be up there for favorites for sure.
He's starting game one, isn't he? I haven't yet, but is Fleury starting game one? He's got to be, right?
I believe he is, yes. I don't know that for sure, but I'm sure he is.
Yeah, so I'd like to think he is, but I mean, who knows? Peter DeBoer keeps everything very tight to the chest. As far as the MVP, the Conn Smythe goes, the one that kind of I circled and I said, it might be worth putting some money down on is Victor Hedman at +5,000. I get why the odds are like that, because Kucherov's coming back and Stamkos and Vasilevsky, but Hedman is that one guy. He just seems to control the play. He also collects points. And he's, exactly. Like, it's not that big a stretch. Exactly. He's the reigning Conn Smythe winner. So it just seems to me like we've seen it before, and he collects points, controls the play. He'll play 30 plus minutes. He'll be on every special teams. I mean, it just seems to me if Tampa can somehow repeat, you know, all eyes might be on Victor Hedman. And at that price, my goodness, why not, right?
Yeah, and I guess the other one there is Vasilevsky. Like, if he's the best goaltender in the world, if they win another Stanley Cup, it's almost like they feel obligated at some point to get it to the goaltender. It happens with most great teams, so he's probably a decent guy to look at. Just looking, he's +2,300, so nice payout.
Yeah, you mentioned Vasilevsky, but there's also Braden Point. So I think there's too many good players on that team. And I think Point was in the conversation for most of the playoffs last year, was he not, as well? So Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, Vasilevsky. Put Hedman somewhere in the middle.
What also is interesting is you could do these little prop bets where you can do, like, will McDavid score more goals in the first round than Matthews? I mean, there's obviously a lot of randomness to it. You almost want to take a player who's going to play more games. If you think the Leafs are going to roll right over the Habs and sweep them or win in five, but you think Edmonton's going to struggle against the Winnipeg team that you say, Justin, is ready for an upset, you know, Connor McDavid in seven games is probably going to score more goals than Austin Matthews in 4 or 5 games. So it makes it very intriguing. And for those wondering who are listening right now, well, where's Connor McDavid in the Conn Smythe chat? Well, he's +2,100 behind the likes of MacKinnon, Matthews, Fleury, Stone, Makar. So he's up there, but, you know, at +2,100, I mean, it would take a few upsets for Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup, but certainly Connor McDavid's showing he can carry a team on his back. So it makes for a fun time. It all gets going tomorrow as we get going with Boston and Washington, our opening game, 6:30 Eastern, Hockey Night in Canada. And it's going to be fun, guys. And before we take a quick break, any words to the NHL? Like, somehow they muddled their way through this. It wasn't easy. Numerous teams coming down with COVID outbreaks. The Vancouver essentially not playing a game for a month, and we know they still have to wrap up their season. But, you know, I imagine if you're Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, and everyone, you're having a bit of a sigh of a relief right now. Like, wow, we were almost at least into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, a standing ovation. I tweeted something to this effect earlier a week or two ago, but they went through it, right? The league went through it. The players went through it. A lot of guys had not a lot of fun to make this happen, but I sure certainly enjoyed having NHL hockey to get me through some of the tougher months. So I'm grateful for the league for finding a way through, and I know it wasn't easy. So, as I said, standing over those guys.
Yeah, and if I'm a player, you don't have to necessarily thank the NHL, but you got to respect them for what you did, at least with your pocketbooks, right? Because they saved them a lot of money, and the league did a good job of trying to, you know, save the finances and the business side of it too. So at least at the end of the day, saying, hey, you know what? You know, I don't really want to be paying all this escrow, but at least it could be a lot worse. So thank them with your pocketbook.
Yeah. Well, listen, hats off to the league, but also hats off to the players and the staff, because this has been such a trying year. And you guys talk to players. I talk and text with players, and this is like nothing else, right? This is under a lot of duress. We're all
Simmons couldn't get a haircut. Did you see that? Simmons could not get a haircut. Did you see that?
It was Jeff the Barber.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
I have a breaking scoop, though. Jeff the Barber has been granted permission to enter the bubble, as he has confirmed got his 3 negative COVID tests. So I think you will see a new haircut on Simmons' hair. So that's a breaking scoop on this show.
That's unreal.
Stewie, is that your guy?
Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah.
Is that your guy too, Stewie? That's your guy.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's my guy. So he,
listen,
yeah.
This has been trying times, man. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, he cuts myself. He cuts Wayne. Well, he cuts the Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Think he'd do my hair, Stewie?
You want a high and tight? Yeah, if you want to go high and tight, yeah.
Let's do it.
Give Justin Bourne the old kid in play. Give him the kid in play fade. I'd love to see that.
I got a gift for that right now.
Oh, man. Put it out, baby. You got to follow Stewie, who's moved on from his BlackBerry to an Apple 12 Plus, so he's fancy boy now. We're going to take a break. We're going to welcome in another fancy boy in just a matter of moments, Sam Cosentino. He's been all over the under-18s, Canada walking away with gold. How did that shuffle up the top prospects? Some players really did well for themselves there as we head towards the NHL draft as well. 2 future draft picks and 2 future number one picks in Shane Wright, Connor Bedard. They were exceptional. What does that mean for their draft prospects? We're going to go through all of that coming up in just a matter of moments here on Hockey Central with Sam Cosentino. We'll see you in a minute. Hey, welcome back. Hockey Central. David Amber, Anthony Stewart, Justin Bourne, as we're on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we're also on the beginning of what promises to be a beautiful weekend here in Toronto. My goodness, the weather is absolutely sensational. So a great time of year as we welcome in Sam Cosentino, who's one of the busiest men in hockey these days, because he's gearing up for what's going to be an exceptional draft, and he has to get it all in order and figure out all the top prospects coming up in the next couple of months. So we welcome in Sam Cosentino. Hey, Sam, how are you doing today?
Yeah, doing great, David. Thanks for having me on. It's been a fun little run here. We're after the under-18s and putting out the list, and keep her going here for the next couple months.
And here we go. And what an under 18 it was for the Canadians, grabbing gold on the strength of 2 underagers, essentially. Shane Wright, who's projected to be the number one pick next year, 2022, and Connor Bedard, who's just exceptional. Finished tied for 2nd in scoring in this tournament, despite the fact he's 15 years old, which is just such an incredible story. So walk us through, before we get to Wright and Bedard, walk us through how important this tournament was, Sam, knowing that, you know, so many players aren't under the microscope the way they usually are because there hasn't been the ability to play as much for some of them, to have this tournament best on best to showcase their skills.
You know, it's amazing. Every skill will tell you that they don't want to put too much weight in one event, but at the end of the day, it's really the only event that you said is best on best for the 2003. So the late 02s, they've been at home for a while or in their respective playoffs. But the 2003 born group, this was their one opportunity not only to play for and represent their countries, but to show their stuff, you know, for the NHL draft. And the teams that played for a medal, the four teams that played for a medal, ended up playing seven games. So to try and think that you're going to base your entire decision on a seven-game stint is difficult, but I do believe it's heavily weighted. And that's just the where we are with this pandemic. So no question, it's a challenge. It carries a lot of weight, but it's not going to be the be-all and end-all. It'll be a big piece of the puzzle, however.
JB.
Sam, every time I create any sort of list for Sportsnet, I always feel like there's tough decisions to be made, and I have to defend something about my list. Is there anything about this list that makes you go, yes, I put him here, but is there anything that makes you want to explain why you did what you did with your list?
Well, there's probably two guys that I omitted from last month in April. One of them was Sasha Pastajov, who I thought played really well for the U.S., and then has been a big piece of their under 18 program this year as their leading scorer, and I thought he was good in the tournament, maybe one of their best players, but I thought their underage players were actually really good, so I thought he was best of the age group, but still left for me a little something to be desired. And I think the next guy would be Zach Leroux, and I'll probably take a little bit of a hit for that one. He's a young man who won gold with Quebec at the Canada Winter Games 2 years ago, was their leading scorer, was absolutely brilliant in that tournament, then went on to Moncton for a year, traded over to Halifax, plays with some grit, some bite, but he's been off kilter on a few occasions this year with some suspensions and some incidents that I don't think are befitting of what you're looking at when it comes to a first-round pick. So I think both of those guys in different capacities are guys that I omitted off of the May list that were on the April list. But no doubt, you always hear from a scout or an agent, this guy's too low. You know, I had somebody in the top 15, and I thought that was a real good place for him in the top 15. And one agent texted and said, yeah, well, you're about 20 spots too low. I'm like, holy geez, you can never make everybody happy. But you know what? As you know, JB, anytime you make a list, people are interested, they're engaged, and I love it when that conversation is created. And I'm happy to answer to any omissions or deletions or people that maybe I have too high or too low. I mean, I think I feel I do a lot of work on it, and I can justify it.
Stewie.
I'm concerned, Sam. I'm concerned for my OHL brethren who have not played in over a full calendar year here. So, you know, we saw Toronto Maple Leafs not draft a player from the OHL, and there seems like, you know, not playing a full year. How long is this going to have a trickle-down effect for players that are playing in the Ontario League when it comes to the NHL draft?
Yeah, for a couple of years for sure. But I think the one thing that some of these kids can hold out hope for, especially if you're an 02 or an 03 born, maybe you've taken the entire pandemic to really improve your game. And that's what I'm hoping for, because it's not over for you if you don't go in your first year of draft eligibility. I think there's going to be some OHL players that are missed because of that uncertainty. But I also believe that, you know, if things can get off the ground the way they have planned them October 7th for the OHL and get a full 68 game season, scouts aren't going to turn their eye just because they're past their first year of draft eligibility. And I think the re-entry thing has really become more popular in the last 4 or 5 years, where it was mostly heavily based in the first five rounds, especially with your first year guys. Now you're seeing a lot of re-entry players, and I think that's a good thing, because you don't want to turn your eye on any talent over the course of 1 year. A 17-year-old to an 18-year-old, obviously there's huge changes, but you may experience some late bloomers who have that same sort of thing happen from their 18 to 19-year-old year or 19 to 20-year-old year.
So, Sam, we know the Leafs aren't in a position to draft they don't have their top pick, their third, their fourth. But when you look at teams like Buffalo, clearly are very interested in what's going to happen in this upcoming draft, you know, Vancouver, Ottawa. Compared to last year, Lafreniere, Byfield, Stützle, how would you compare the top-end talent coming into this year's draft compared to the top three from a year ago?
Yeah, I think it's a little different, only in that I think this top three you're going to see defensemen as opposed to, you know, the forwards that you mentioned from last year with Lafreniere, Stützle, Byfield. I think this year you're looking at guys like Owen Power, Simon Edmondson, Brandt Clark, You're looking at Luke Hughes. So I think there's a lot of high-end defensemen inside of this top 10, and that's the biggest difference. In terms of us knowing that Lafreniere for probably 2 years was going to be that guy, I don't think there's the same amount of certainty with Owen Power, but I feel really strongly about a 6'6", 215-pound defenseman that skates like the wind, that is extremely agile, that played as a freshman against people, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years older than him, and still was able to play in all situations for Mel Pearson, PK, penalty kill, regular 5-on-5, play with a boatload of confidence, play as a guy who was able to support the rush and really defend with that size and stick. So I guess the one element I'd say about Power that he's missing for his size is that maybe that aggressiveness or that bite, or but I think that will come as he continues to develop and gets bigger and stronger. So again, your Lafreniere, we knew Owen Power, I feel pretty confident about it, but again, with some of that uncertainty, I think there's probably 3 or 4 players that wouldn't surprise me if they went first overall.
JB. Justin, you there?
Oh, hello. Oh. Sorry, guys. I was on mute. Oh, I'm really good at muting myself. I'm sure some people at home wish they had a mute button for me. Sam, is there anyone you're quite a bit higher on than consensus?
Yeah, I would say right now. So Fabian Lassell of Sweden is a guy that I have pretty high, and some people have even higher. He's a really interesting guy because in terms of skill, he fits in the top 5 of this draft class. But I think there's some issues away from the ice that that need to be looked at and scrutinized and need to be explained to scouts. And no doubt NHL teams will be asking about that. So I think he's probably a guy that maybe – actually, I think he falls. And I probably have him higher than I wanted to put him based on some of that, you know, some of the stuff that I've been hearing about him off ice. But when you go through that list, I feel really strongly about the top 10, but I do feel it's a big crapshoot after that. So I guess if you're looking at one guy that maybe I have higher than the rest, maybe a Logan Stankoven, you know, the kid out in Kamloops, right shot, right winger, was really good for Canada. He'd be a guy I have him, I think, at 28 or 29 on my list. So he'd be one guy that maybe because of his size might look more like a second rounder to a lot of people, but I love this performance there. I love what he's done in Kamloops before he left and what he did before the season came to an end last year. So he's got a pretty good book, in my opinion. And I love his motor. I love his engine. I think he's a guy that, that may end up going a bit higher than some people project.
I know we probably won't see an exceptional status for NHL draft year, but could we see in the near future or wherever players coming out of junior a year early? Because you've seen, obviously, the success this year with some players that would necessarily be in junior this year playing pro and actually having some success. Could you see them actually now making a new rule where they could play a year early?
I think they really have to look at it, Stu. I think that there are some players that are definitely beyond what the CHL can offer them in terms of maybe being overplayed, playing in every situation. So it's something you have to look at, but it's something you have to be really careful about doing because you definitely don't want to take 30 players or 32 players from across the CHL and automatically say, hey, you can go into the AHL as a 19-year-old, because that would have a significant impact on the quality of the CHL. And you don't want to do that because it's been the number one feeder of talent to your league for years and years. I think 43% is the number of CHL graduates in the NHL today. So you have to be really careful about that. I'd have to put some severe restrictions on it, be it, you know, a first rounder, depending on when his birthday is. You don't know if you'd allow late birthday guys to do it. You'd really have to sit down and look at it and limit that. But I do think that it's an option that should be looked at for sure.
We're talking with NHL draft prospect guru Sam Cosentino, who has all the 411 on the top guys coming our way to the National Hockey League. I might mispronounce his name, but the Russian forward, is it Mykov?
Medvey Michkov. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, all right. I haven't even asked the question, and you're saying, well, I want to know. He's 12 months younger than Shane Wright, but they're both 04s. They're going to be in the same draft, from what I understand, right? Is there going to be some question whether he could unseat Shane Wright as the number one pick? I mean, he's that good. He had 12 goals in 7 games in the under-18s.
Yeah, he was sick. He led the tournament with 16 points. So he's a late 04 birthday, which would technically put him in the 05 draft class. So the cool part about that is we're not necessarily comparing him to Shane Wright, but we're comparing him to Connor Bedard. I think that's awesome. We're talking about that already, and I think that's amazing stuff. I mean, this guy was a highlight reel coming into the tournament for Russia, and David, the way he played, he didn't disappoint at all. He had a 4-goal game, a 3-goal game. He was in on all 3 goals for the Russians when it came to the gold medal game in which they lost to Canada. So the way it sets up is there's a kid by the name of Brad Lambert who plays for Finland, who's Finnish-born, whose dad, Ross, played in Saskatoon. The family's from Saskatoon. He was at the World Juniors pretty good, had 5 assists for the Finns at the under-18 tournament. But he's a really dynamic player that I think is going to be a guy who we're going to be looking at and talking a little bit about Shane Wright, although I think Shane Wright is head over heels above Lambert, but he'll be in that conversation. But what's really cool is we have these 1-2 setups for the next 2 years, and we're not even through 2021. So you got Shane Wright, Lambert, then you got Michkov and Bedard, and no doubt there's going to be others who emerge to get into that conversation. But I love how we're talking about 3 drafts down the road already, and I think the talk is legit.
Who has the edge right now between Bedard and Michkov, in your opinion?
Oh, man. I've seen more of Bedard. So I'm biased because I've had more viewings, whether it was in Regina before he left, and then, of course, the 7 games there. But Michkov, I watched really closely at the under-18s. He obliterated MHL records, which is basically the CHL in Russia. I think it's just going to be great to watch. I really do because, you know, we're sitting there and Bedard because we're in Canada. And I know in Russia they're saying Michkov. So it's awesome. You have 2 countries that don't like each other in hockey. They've always had a rivalry. Now you're going to have 2 players at the top of the 2023 draft class who are going to be able to slug it out for, you know, national pride, of course, and, of course, being the number one guy. So who would have the edge? Oh, man. Based on under-18s alone, I mean, I don't know. Tie goes to the runner. How's that?
We got a couple more minutes with Sam Cosentino. Go ahead, JB.
We got new Crosby, new Ovechkin. How exciting for us to get to have that kind of reborn. I like it. So how was the process of making a list this year compared to most years? How different was how you assembled this? It could not have looked like it used to for something like this project.
It sucked for me because I always like to get my own eyes on players. And you know, JB, you've been around it. David, you've seen it. Stu, you coach. You can get videos of players, and you can say, oh, yeah, this guy's a really good player. You know, the video's been edited, whatever else. But seeing them live and in person, there's nothing that replaces that. I don't care what anybody says. You can watch all the video in the world, but until you see somebody live, you may have an entirely different impression of that player. So for me, OHL, no games to see. We didn't call any CHL games this year, so no games to see live and in person. It's been really challenging. I hate the video. I think it sucks. I think it's a great compliment to what you do seeing live and in person, but that's been my only option this year. And thank God for Instat, thank God for Hockey Tech, 2 companies that have really stepped up to help out in what I'm doing, to be able to break down tape and shifts and all that sort of thing. Those guys have been absolutely brilliant and have stepped up to help out there. But I don't like doing it this way. Right now it's the only option, unfortunately, that I have, and hopefully that changes for next year.
Is it possible we get to see Luke Hughes play with one of his brothers next year? And how does he compare to the other 2?
Yeah, different. Bigger than them. 6'2", about 190 pounds. The similarities first are the skating, the edge work, and the confidence with the puck on their stick. All 3 guys think they're the best whenever they have the puck on their stick. And rightfully so, they're all very gifted. They've had all that competition growing up, which I think is helpful. Luke is a little bit different in that at this age, I think he defends a little bit better than Quinn. Size has a lot to do with that. Simply reach alone and being a bigger, stronger body than where Quinn was at this time, I think are helpful assets in that regard. I think there's probably less offensive upside to Luke, better defensive upside. So you might be getting a little bit more of a well-rounded player, but not quite the dynamic of ability of what Quinn or Jack would bring to the table. But, you know, everyone talks about the youngest brother and having the battle against two older brothers. In that family in particular, I believe that to ring true. I think if you threw four steaks on the Hughes family table, I think mama and dad would be getting one. It would be a pretty good scrap between the three brothers for the other two steaks.
Oh, that's awesome. Sam, it's always a pleasure. I know we're going to be talking to you a lot between now and draft day, draft lottery day, expansion draft day, everything else. So get some sleep and keep watching these kids progress. It's a lot of fun here with Sam Cosentino. Thanks so much.
All right, David, Stu, Borny, take care. Have a good weekend. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
you as well. We're going to wrap things up here on Hockey Central. A very interesting quote from Paul Maurice at the morning skate getting set for the Jets and Leafs. We're going to dig into that in our last few minutes of Hockey Central, coming up with Justin Bourne and Anthony Stewart right after this. Hey, wrapping up Hockey Central with Justin Bourne and Anthony Stewart. And Jets morning skate today. By the way, Nick Ehlers out there in a non-contact jersey. I don't think he'll be playing tonight. But here's what Jets coach Paul Maurice had to say, fellas. This is going to sound terrible for hockey, but it'll be a gentleman's agreement. I don't think you're going to see any late hits. Both teams are getting ready. There will be a certain amount of respect on the ice. Very candid, very interesting. Stewie, your takes.
I'd say there's no honor amongst thieves. And, you know, we saw the Ottawa game last night, and Tkachuk was running around quite a bit, too. So I think guys obviously don't want to get hurt. You're not going to be taking liberties. But remember, hockey is a contact sport, and that's usually when you do get hurt, when you're sort of tiptoeing around the ice. You're not worrying about getting hit. That's usually when you get hurt. I think they're going to play hard, but they're going to play safe and within the rule book for sure.
JP? I've never heard a coach say that before. That mm-hmm. I love Paul Maurice. Like, we always say, NHL people don't say anything interesting. Like, that to me is wildly interesting because it's the truth. No one ever tells us the truth.
Sometimes you can't handle the truth, right?
Right. I'm sure there's fans right now pulling out their hair over the fact that he said that. But, hey, it's reality. It's about playoffs and winning the cup.
All right.
Well, I almost died. Tonight is irrelevant.
You said the cup. You said the C word. Last thought, Stewie, you taking the Oilers to win the cup like you did last year?
No comment.
Well, the playoffs get going. The Stanley Cup playoffs is going to be sensational, guys. Enjoy the weekend. Justin, any last thoughts? Who's your cup favorite? Who do you have, bud?
I got the Avs. Nathan MacKinnon for Conn Smythe, plus 1,200. All right.
We'll hold you to that. Smith and Jones is next on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, thanks for watching and listening to Hockey Central. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs.